This is sports.
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 This is sports. This is sports.
With a capital F.
This is sports with a capital F.
This is sports.
F.
This is sports with a capital F.
Well, 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 everybody. Welcome to the Sports with a Capital F podcast. I'm Graham, and I am here with thumb wrestling champion something something, Griff McGriff. What's going on, sir?
You want to thumb wrestle me?
I am concerned that one day you're going to either be thumb wrestled by a listener or... Oh, that, yeah, let's start the episode with this. It is... We're at the halfway point in baseball. It's a perfect time to run down the history of your challenging of Jonathan Papelbon to an MMA fight.
Yeah, and Papelbon is missing from baseball, missing from the All-Star game, and missing from, you know, or just not replying to my challenge. I mean, he, you know, the guy is real quick to grab children by the throat, jump in old men's faces, but, when he, you know, was faced with a real opponent, silence, crickets.
That's true. I have not received any phone calls from Jonathan Papelbon.
Nothing. I haven't seen a response in anywhere, any shape, form, like nothing.
That is a fact.
Yeah, like I said, you know, children, old men, he's quick, man. Real quick temper right up in their face. You know, he's real quick to impose his will on children and old men. Bryce Harper and Joe West. If you need, you know, specific examples.
Yeah, except for Joe West showed him who was in charge there.
Yeah, he stepped up to an old man and got dealt with.
Yep.
Got that dealt with.
You know, I don't know that Jonathan Papelbon is on Twitter.
And if he did, he deleted his account.
Yeah, because we definitely haven't been able to issue this challenge. Maybe you should challenge him to a thumb wrestling match, though, being that you're a champion thumb wrestler and he's a professional athlete and you're challenging him to an MMA fight. I'm just giving you an opportunity.
Well, I mean, you know, he's 6'5" and a trained, you know, pro athlete, but I'm not scared of him. But if he wants to step it down a notch, you know, if that's what I need to do to get Papelbon in a ring with me, I just didn't want him, you know, I didn't want to be Mayweather. I didn't want to drag a guy
who's and a guy like wait till he's past his prime and then pick on him in a combat sport. I got you.
Yeah, you know, and then take him into my world and own him. But you know, you're right, and I mean, we're trying to have a society here, so sure. Yeah, Papelbon. I tell you what, if you know, I know you like children and old men usually to be your adversary, but if you want to come thumb wrestle me, you know, you can step up and take the L like everyone else who's ever locked hands with me. Thumb wrestling champion.
I'm here to tell you, folks, I'm no slouch at thumb wrestling, and this man is like the Conor McGregor. You know, your style, though, is a lot different than that. I would say you're like the Chuck Liddell of thumb wrestling. It's just such a vicious...
I'm the YES belt holder.
Yeah, it's impressive, your skill.
All right. Well, and I don't want to name off all the belts I unified, but yeah, you know, pretty much, you know, it's very, very like Mayweather. You know, Stephen, I'm the champ. He's out of his element. Everyone's out of their element against me. I pretty much invented thumb wrestling.
Let's all remember that, folks. In case you ever happen to run into Griff McGriff in public, do not challenge him to a thumb wrestling contest.
And to our listeners and anybody, if you think you can beat me in thumb wrestling, we'll play by YS rules, regulations. We'll, you know, Graham has refereed probably thousands of matches. He'll referee the match. It'll be sanctioned. And if you think you can beat me at thumb wrestling, step up to the plate.
We'll I think I'm at 998 thumb wrestling matches officiated, but I am going to cross that threshold. You know what? I will go ahead and officiate one more thumb wrestling match, and then the 1,000th thumb wrestling match I officiate should be you versus Jonathan Papelbon, if the man would ever respond. You know he listens to this podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got to hear something. I mean, it's not like we haven't been making, you know, waves trying to get this guy to just acknowledge it.
No, we haven't shut up about it. Although it's probably time to shut up about it and move into
I got a little current event.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Bregman, he's a third baseman for the Astros.
I'm sorry, say his name again. I talked over you. What'd you say?
I think his name's Alex Bregman. Maybe Bregman, I don't know. You know, the guys who aren't on the Braves, I know their names off fantasy baseball, so sometimes I mispronounce.
And the Astros are in the American League, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But here's the deal. Pretty funny news. The guy deleted his Twitter account. Some fan was talking shit about him. And it made me feel good about my tweet sometimes late at night. Because the guy said, he called the dude a gnat on the nutsack of society. And
the Twitter fan called this Houston.
No. A Major League Baseball player called a fan who was talking shit to him. He said, I don't deal with sleaze. That's what it was. I don't deal with fleas, and he spelled fleas F-L-E-E-S, because he's a pro athlete. And,
right, but that's okay. He knew what he meant.
It was good. He said he doesn't deal with fleas on the nutsack of society, and that if he was on their team, he would trade him, but frat boys don't, or you never make teams, or something like that.
Bravo.
It was pretty good. Fleas on the nutsack of society, and then he deleted his Twitter account and got in trouble.
That's crazy, though. But, I mean, in a lot of ways, at what point do these people not get to respond to all this ridiculous action?
Right, yeah. They call you out, and it says, like, oh, foul, sir.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a lot of shit about LeBron James, but if LeBron James took to Twitter and was like, hey, how about this? Fuck you. And that was just what his tweet said, I would be like, he definitely has earned the right to say that.
Right, yeah, or if he was like, you know, if I saw you in public, I'd slap the shit out of you. Right. Realistically, some of the things I've said about LeBron James, you know, had no warrant.
Yeah.
It's like, overall, he seems like a nice guy, takes care of his family, but, you know, I think
does tons of charitable
shit
stuff
about him all the time.
Is also super awesome at basketball, but... He's like a corporation. He's like a basketball corporation. Like, he's like the Monsanto of basketball. Like, yeah, thanks for making all that baby formula, but I don't like you. I feel like you're up to something.
It's his face, man. Everybody knows it's his face. But it's just the baby face. You know, he makes those baby faces.
He does. And not like baby face, like he looks young because his hairline has See, there we go. See, look, we're getting on LeBron.
He just looks like a bitch.
All right. And you
6'7" monster bitch.
Yeah, and you challenged him to a fight too, where you were inside of a bulletproof plexiglass box.
Man, if I'm inside of a bulletproof glass room, I'll say anything I want to you, LeBron, and you won't do shit about it. I guarantee.
I guess he could just wait until you needed to leave the room.
I would never leave the room.
No, you would be a commitment. It would be a commitment. You would definitely find your new home being inside that room.
Yeah, it's too much shit going on.
And I feel like LeBron has the means to get himself inside that room, probably. I don't know. It's just not a good idea. But either way.
If I was going to do it, I would make sure the room was squared away, and I would have a taser.
I'm not a big fan of Mick LeBron, so let's move on to the halfway point of baseball season.
Man, how about Aaron Judge?
How about that? Doesn't it make you feel great when you see the Yankees have a monster on their team who's just, you know, they could...
Yeah, reinventing baseball.
Right. Wouldn't you love to see that team have him and Kyle Schwarber? Could you imagine what Kyle Schwarber would do with that organization where they would be like...
188 and get sent to Iowa.
Not if he played for the Yankees. They wouldn't have hit him leadoff, first of all.
Dude, yeah, they would have. Everybody can clearly see Kyle Schwarber should get the leadoff spot.
That's a good way to...
High average his whole career.
That's a good way to segue into the standings at the halfway point. I don't know, blow over everything, but the Cubs are 5.5 games behind the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Brew Crew
the
is a
Milwaukee team. Brewers.
Dude, that team is loaded with sluggers. And they have young pitchers.
I've been saying for years that they were a year or two away from developing, and after 4 or 5 years, I'm finally right. So I feel like I can predict the future. But that's enough about that division. So anyway, so the Cubs are going to obviously in the second half take a commanding lead of that division because of the massive trade that happened in the motherland where Jose Quintana decided that he wanted to play in a real baseball park in a real part of the city. And he is going to become a Cub now. And that's pretty much all the Cubs needed. That addresses all their problems. I'm sure Joe Madden will use that man to his potential.
It'll help. It can't hurt, right? But
no, it doesn't hurt. The trade does take Eloy Jimenez, who I saw play in a game on Memorial Day last year in Chattanooga, Tennessee, when he played for the Tennessee Smokies. And he is like a top 100 baseball prospect. But here's what happened in the one double-A game I saw him play in. He went 0 for 5 with 3 strikeouts.
A long time ago.
A year ago.
No, I was saying that thing that his mom. But what were you saying again? I just, the name clicked the bell. I got lost. I went back to a memory.
Eloy Jimenez. Yeah, you got to talk louder because I didn't catch that, but it's probably okay.
Oh, yeah, no, I did. I remember that. Chattanooga, I used to live by there. I banged that guy's mom. But,
but yeah. But so either way, that's enough. That was the trade. Quintana goes. Several nice prospects from the Cubs go to the South Side. But they'll blow it. That's what they do. Everybody knows if you're talking about a baseball team in Chicago that's going to blow it, you're talking about the White Sox.
Mom will.
Yeah, good luck on the South Side, Eloy Jimenez, whoever you were. All right, so
I'm just kidding unless you want to thumb wrestle me, and then it's serious.
In your,
but let me talk a little beloved bit about National League that everybody wants to hear about.
In Braves. Your beloved National League East, the Braves are
Let me talk about them, man.
They're a mere nine and a half
games back. Let me talk about the Braves.
I was going to walk you into it.
We closed the gap. But you were gonna mention how far back, but we've closed the gap based on where we were.
Nine and a half games.
Within striking distance. Equal striking distance of the wild card or the division. 9.5 games back. So if you wanna come out the SunTrust, the Freeze would beat your ass. Like he would race the shit out of you.
Apparently he didn't do so hot at the All-Star game. Have you heard about this?
You got smoked, really?
Yeah, he got.
You know what's gonna happen? He's just some kid. You know, he's just some kid going to college on the track.
Yeah, he's like a college track. Yeah, he could. He's
not like a world class athlete or anything. He's just some kid who runs track. I mean, he's fast. He's fast as shit. But you know, I could beat him. But most people could.
You could beat him in a thumb wrestling match for sure.
For sure, in a thumb wrestling match. But man, I'm looking at that lead he gives people, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't think I'm gonna let you beat me that lead unless you're incredibly fast and run on the track.
Well, and then this, you know, this particular incident at the All-Star game, I think he really regretted giving the guy the lead.
Because he got real fast.
Let's take a look here. But yeah,
they did that shit because it's the Braves guy, like, set that dude up, and then when he got out there, they're like, yeah, we got this fan that runs the fourth flat. The Braves are conspiracy, man. The Braves are good every year, and, like, everyone is like Atlanta sports. Like, we're not bad.
All right, so he gave the guy the lead, and the guy was in center field before the Freeze left the line.
Oh, he always does that, dude. He always gives that.
Nah, the guy was in center field, and here goes the guy. I mean, he's gaining on him, but nah. I mean, he got handled. Actually, well, interesting thing about that video, if anybody watches it, is that there was a guy in a Fukudome jersey who stood up to clap. Like right at the end of it, it was like it just in the frame. That was odd. I didn't think anybody.
Hey, here's a Wrigley Field fun fact.
That Jose Quintana is gonna come play for the Cubs and help us win. Now that, 50 games.
The Home Run Derby really kind of like was a spinoff of a show called the Home Run Derby that was filmed in 1959. These cats would play Home Run Derby for 9 innings.
Jeez.
For 9 innings. Anything they hit that wasn't a home run was an out, but they would play 9 innings of that. It would be like Willie Mays versus
That is such Mickey. A good idea.
Versus dude, you didn't get Mickey Mantle versus Willie Mays. It's real. You can go to YouTube. They aired it on ESPN in the 70s and 80s. But dude, Hank Aaron won like six of them. They would get $2,000 for winning.
Man.
And I'm telling you, it's all on YouTube. You can go look at it, and it's weird because Hank Aaron, this was 1959. Hank Aaron didn't break that record for a long time. So it's just, it's funny to see a young Hank Aaron in that format, in that era, smacking home runs before anyone's even aware, you know, of what he's going to do. So it's kind of neat. And plus, it's like Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Eddie Matthews. And, I mean, these guys are playing for like $2,000, but in 1959...
Yeah, it's massive. But either way, that's awesome. That's definitely how the home run derby should work. Is it's like two teams of just sluggers, and then yeah, they play anything that's not a hit, a home run is an out, and they play nine innings. That would be over quick, I feel like.
Well, it goes. Yeah, no, it's not too bad. And they clip, you know, everything out. But dude, it's almost worth watching because the way the announcers are and stuff is it's just funny. Like it's really good. It's really good YouTube watch. It's really good. And if you're a big baseball junkie, I mean, I'm probably going to eventually sit down and watch all of them. Because it was filmed, and it was all filmed in Wrigley Field because I guess it was symmetrical for left-handers and right-handers, so that's why they picked it. And they filmed it all at once, like in a month, and then they aired it over like 3 years in the summer.
That's crazy.
It was super cool. And then that's where the home run derby idea, like from that show, I guess it kind of like, you know, that's what started the conversation and got the home run derby going. You know, but it's really cool. Really cool.
God, that's a better format for the existing home run derby and also like super dope. Yeah, no, I'm going to have to check that out. It's on YouTube, huh?
Right, yeah, just type in home run derby, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, something like
that. Yeah, all right. Well, that's pretty dope. Like, you want to run through the rest of these standings? Because all we have to do is the NL West, where the Dodgers are up by a bunch on two other really good teams, and there is an American League. And I think that about sums up our first half baseball segment. Yeah, that sounds good to me. So, you want to get into these power rankings?
Yeah, I remember reading the text, but I didn't. I was driving, so I didn't actually.
It's all good. I'll lay them on you right now. So for those of you who are first-time listeners, every episode, we pick three things using a random noun generator on the internet, and we rank them like other shows rank sports teams, and this means just as much. So this episode, the power rankings are supermarket, dinghy, and precipitation. And at first glance, I feel like these three things all could equally be terrible and horrid, or they could be exactly what you asked for, depending on context.
So, supermarket.
Yep.
Dinghy?
Dinghy, like a small boat.
Gotcha. And what was the other one? Again?
Precipitation.
Oh, precipitation. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Odd, we got another weather one. We did tornadoes pretty well, so I feel like this is a...
You know, that's such a broad thing, though. I feel like, I mean, such a wide gap between, like, snow on Christmas Day and hell on first day of
all of these things, context is important. If you're talking about a dinghy, let's say you were on a big ship that was sinking in the middle of the ocean... A dinghy would be super awesome. If you're like a normal person who doesn't get on boats a lot, a dinghy seems totally inconsequential.
Right.
Or could be horrible if you were in a dinghy and the other people were in a dinghy and they were pirates and they had a cannon, like one big cannon, and they could shoot it once,
like that,
and then they'd be like a mile away, that would come back.
Or like that scene in Titanic where all those people, and they're like, no, we can't go back because you're afraid all the people in the water are going to like, your dinghy in.
Yeah, whereas, yeah, so if you're the person in the dinghy, it's the most wonderful thing ever, unless you let other people in it. So it's a very complicated thing. And then supermarkets, what's crazier than the supermarket, honestly? Like, have you ever went in there and really been in the mindset of being like,
I had a Walmart experience the other day that was just forgettable.
Yeah. I just feel like you go in the supermarket to buy food, and...
Yeah, it depends on what day you went. Like, if you go a Friday afternoon, or if you go in the middle of the night, you know, there's, yeah, there's, yeah, context is big.
Yeah, and well, and when you go in there at those times of day, at those times of the week, too, you're kind of like, do we really need this? Do we need this many people? Does it need to be this easy? Does it need to be this easy to, you know, consume things? Like, should the, you look at all the people in line at the grocery store, you're not like, are we sure that we need to be feeding all of these people?
I feel like all the people would be fine if they just weren't where I was at. Like, if they were just, you know, me and a few other people.
Go to a different grocery store.
At least an hour away.
Right.
That's, I'm fine with everyone just living about an hour away. I live around the block. Right.
You're breaking up real bad. What are you doing, wandering around?
No. I probably pulled away from the mic a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Turned my head.
Could be. I'll don't turn
be
your
expressive.
Head.
I was being expressive.
Yeah, your microphone doesn't pick up expressive very well.
Well, I should have got the expressive version, but
that, all right, let's do the podcast. Let's do the power rankings. I should have got the expressive version of the microphone. See, that's, I have this arm. I can be expressive. I can like move the arm back and be like, and it sounds funny because it's far away. Did I hit you with the microphone, Bree?
Nope.
Are you sure I didn't? Pretty sure I did.
Did you touch his dinghy?
Yeah, she just hurt herself. Thank you. Bree just brought me a beer. All right, look. Supermarket dinghy, precipitation. And like you said, precipitation, though, is probably the worst one.
Do you have a dinghy?
If you consider...
Do you have a dinghy in your possession?
I'm not a boat guy. And I think you have to have a really big-ass boat to be a guy who owns a dinghy. I think if you own a dinghy, it's just your little tiny
You either have a big dinghy or nothing at all.
No, no, no. You either have a boat that has a dinghy attached to it, or you own a dinghy.
So there's no, like, just having a dinghy on its own. Just like, I got a dinghy right here. You want to go for a ride in my dinghy?
No, you couldn't take people for a ride in just a dinghy. You would take people for a ride in a yacht.
People think of for a ride in a canoe, like dudes used to go,
That's different, and I don't even, well, you know what, though, too? You do see it in, like, Boardwalk Empire and other movies of that era. People would use dinghies to paddle out to sea. But I think every time I've ever seen a dinghy, it was in the context of, like, a larger ship.
But if you just had a dinghy on its own, wouldn't it just be, like, a small boat? Does it change names? Is it only a dinghy when it's mounted on a ship?
I think it's only a dinghy if it's involved in a bootlegging operation with a larger ship or smuggling like a stowaway or...
So it's either got to be on a big ship or involved in some ill shit.
Right, involving a big ship, too. Let's not leave that out. That's still a situation.
That's what I said, on a big ship. Like, it's either got to be like, the extra boat.
You know what, though? I feel like I'm turning around on this dinghy thing because if it drops James Bond in the water... it's probably still a dinghy because then it's like a nautical term, even if the dinghy's operating alone.
Yeah, I don't have anything in front of me. I can't make any reference, but I'm wondering terrible. Like what the definition of a dinghy is.
I think we're coming up with it right now. We don't need to know that. We're making the definition of the dinghy a real thing right now. Is it a dinghy? We're answering the question. That's what people come here for.
It's a boat. That's on a larger boat, or it's a boat doing either like a clandestine operation or something illegal.
Right, or something involving another larger boat. I think we can...
Well, that was the first thing. That's what I said. Like,
I thought you said it was attached to a larger boat.
Wouldn't that be it? Like, you're saying it's like on the side, like just in case.
Well, what if the dinghy was transporting stolen treasure from an island back to the larger boat? Well, I guess that would fall under the previous definition too, though.
Oh yeah,
clandestine, ill shit, however you want to describe it. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what though? The more we talk about dinghies, the more I feel like they go to the top of the list.
Yeah. No, we definitely. Even I wouldn't want to be on a dinghy in the middle of an angry ocean, but outside of some scenario like that, I feel like the dinghy sounded kind of.
Right, yeah, as a concept, we've definitely declared the dinghy a way better thing than the other two. So dinghy at the top.
So you admit you like dinghies.
Love them. I understand what you're doing, but of course, I love them. It's weird, though, because, you know, I spent most of my life not thinking about dinghies, but now that I finally sat down and really had a good think about it, maybe I really like them.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a
personal choice, or you're born with it, whatever.
Hey, you're living in the right air, man. What's that dude, the chick now, an Olympian?
He has, yeah, but he hates dinghies. He had a dinghy, and he sold it.
I heard he was mad because he got turned down from some like LGBT conference because he was a Republican. I was like, that's too much for me.
No, it's too much. I can't do it. Rogan talked about it. Rogan talked about it on stage. He saw her on TV say, "I'm really more of a traditionalist when it comes to marriage." It's like a man who had his dick cut off and became a woman.
And
the people
who turned down from an LGBT conference, she was like, the Olympian said, "I feel like I was shunned because I was a conservative," and then you know the backstory,
That's funny too because he was awesome. Listen, but he was awesome enough when he cut off his dick and became a woman. But when he turned out he was a Republican, that was too far. We support your right to be whatever you want if you vote for us.
Yep, that's the deal.
If you like my
all the way around the court. When you get down to the core, like everyone who is like super into politics is crazy. You know, they're like really into it. Like they went all the way down the rabbit hole.
As equally crazy as anybody who watched the Kardashians and gives a shit that Bruce Jenner turned himself into a woman. That is like we have so much other stuff going on.
Yeah, but man, he's a Republican.
It's like a combination. It's a perfect storm of non-issues. It's like
all right, let's get biggest, back to dinghies.
Yeah, thank
they're
you.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. So dinghies are the shit.
Dinghies are awesome.
Dinghies at the top.
Yes.
I'm putting dinghies at the very top. I'll take a dinghy over precipitation or a supermarket.
Right. I think we can work out this supermarket precipitation thing. I feel.
Would you take a dinghy in the supermarket with precipitation?
If there was a hailstorm, a dinghy would be very helpful to get from your car into the grocery store. If you went into this, because you could turn it upside down and just drag it behind you with your head under the bow, I'm assuming, is the front of that. I feel like I'm going to go dinghy, supermarket precipitation. Because the supermarket is where food is, and I was going to launch into a whole thing.
Yeah, dude, you can get, like, realistic. We've had this conversation. Like, all you people out there, like, it's hard. I got this phone in my pocket. There's satellite. And, like, while you're complaining on your magical computer in your pocket, you're sorting through the fruit at the supermarket that is flown, shipped, whatever.
From all four corners there. You can go into a building in December in Chicago and buy fresh tomatoes.
I guess that's my problem with like America is that everybody's like, you know, got their little platform or whatever to bitch about something, and at the end of the day we're just a bunch of spoiled fat idiots. Shut the fuck up.
Absolutely. We deserve whatever we have coming to us in large measure. Yeah. Just listen to Sports with a capital F. Maybe do some science. And then just move on. Get some perspective on the world. This is as important as sports talk. It's equally as important as sports talk radio. And you're getting a little bit of sports. Plus more than you bargained for. We're still doing the power rankings, though. Let's square away the supermarket precipitation thing.
I'm going with you on that.
Over precipitation.
You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to go with more of a realist view. I don't have any fucking use for a dinghy. It sounds cool, but But I'm going to the supermarket. I'm going to supermarket one because I can buy kiwi fruit. And in certain supermarkets, I can buy kiwi fruit and a shotgun.
It's amazing, but is that okay?
I didn't know that anything was okay on Sports with a capital F.
That's true, and I don't really care if it's okay or not, because I definitely don't.
You don't like it.
I don't want to live in a world without a supermarket, but I like the concept of the dinghy over the concept of the supermarket. But I need supermarkets more than dinghies. This is an abstract exercise.
Right. Well, I'm a bit of a progressive, so I think supermarkets are taking us into the future a little more than they need. I think that
And you call yourself a progressive? As far as I understand, progressives want people to go back to farming their own land.
Really? I think of progressive as that you want to further humanity to be better. Like, just taking, like, pure logic. Being like, hey, let's take all this stuff that we're burying in the ground and make it into stuff we can use again.
Those sound like progressive thoughts. I agree.
Yeah. That's the weird thing. You know, we'll get into politics for a second in a completely normal manner.
None of it makes any sense.
Like, liberal. I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative, and I'm a progressive. Because if you go to the Webster's Dictionary and look at, like, you know, the real definition of those words, I mean, I believe that, you know, who doesn't think you should be conservative with money?
Right.
You know, it's always good. And who doesn't think that thinking outside the box is a good thing, a lot of the time, really? And
right.
Progressive is really, being like, well, let's look at things in a macro way and make everything better. I mean, I just don't understand how we take,
but
like,
all ideologies, though, at some point are saying the same, like, it's all sort of saying the same thing in a different tune. It's an octave off.
Let's be real.
It's the political horseshoe, you know, where, like, if you get all the way to the extreme right and the extreme left, if you don't draw it like a line, but you draw it like a horseshoe, they line up.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean.
It's like the same kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. I mean, the guy, if you would have told me, hey, this guy shot some congressmen, and you'd have been like, tell me what party he likes in the party of the people he was shooting at. It could have went either way, and the guy was a Democrat shooting a Republican. And it is, like, at the end of the day, like, he got so far down
and
the rabbit hole.
And so insanely ironic. So insanely ironic that he shot those guys partly, in fact, of their views on gun rights. It's very...
Right. It's the whole thing. Like, it's, I said, that's like, and next.
It's always too much.
But that is my thing. Like, basically, it is... It's like sports. Like, people who talk about politics, a lot of times, who are super political, are like, why do you watch sports? You know, you're just wasting your time, man. You don't even know what's really going on. And I'm like, dude, you're doing the same thing. You're just picking a team. Like, calling somebody a liberal is stupid. Like, you took a term out of the dictionary, liberal or conservative, and turned it into a slander. It's just a word out of the dictionary, you fucking idiot.
It can be a slander or a badge of honor either way, depending on how it's said. That's a liberal. Or someone's like, I am a liberal. Or someone's like, conservatives. Or someone's like, I'm a conservative, comma, insert, whatever. It's all the same. It's the same disease. I think it stems from America not having a definable external enemy. Like, I don't know. Have you ever seen Canadian Bacon? It was a, what's the gentleman's name? It was a Michael Moore movie. And it was a movie. It wasn't a documentary. Right, see, but this wasn't a documentary. It was just a movie, and it was made in the late 90s, in the 90s, after the collapse of the Soviet Union. Well, it was made after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and this is America's new dilemma, is that they don't have, like, a definable external enemy anymore, and they're closing down all these, like, nuclear weapons factories and shit, and people are going to unseat this guy from the presidency. So they come up with an idea to start a war, a cold war with Canada. But that's a hysterical premise. But in the movie,
and then
though,
South Park came out later.
Yeah, South Park came out way after this. And also in the movie, there's a part where they're sitting around in the war room discussing who their new enemy could be. And the president throws out, what about international terrorism? And his general says, who's going to declare war on a bunch of guys with towels on their heads driving around in exploding rental cars? And this was well before that was ever really conceived.
No, they should throw you a couple of shills or something, man. I'm going to go check that out.
No, and it's also hysterical. I mean, it's got John Candy in it. It's very, very funny.
You know, yeah, I've seen, like, yeah, when you say Canadian bacon, I can bring up that.
Yeah, outside, I don't want to say Michael Moore and chase people away from it. Like, it's not also just a great movie that you could, like, get toasted and watch, like, have several beers and watch and enjoy the hell out of it. It's very funny. And Michael Moore, you owe me money.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you heard this, thank you for listening to the Sports with Capital F podcast. It means a lot because you are clearly a superior human being. And we're on Facebook.com/CapFSports. CapF Sports. CapFSports.com.
Yeah, go to Twitter, man. Step up to the challenge on the thumb wrestling or just, shoot something out there at me about how I'm a flea on the nutsack of society or whatever it is.
Whatever you have to say. You know,
yeah, I would like to have a little Twitter conversation. I'm tired of, like, fake businesses wanting to follow. Let's get a little people interaction.
Let's get it going. All right, so what's coming up? We've got Skype audio for all guests who aren't Griff as soon as he figures out how to operate Skype. Audio. And Griff will be in the house live in the CapF Sports Studios this weekend.
We're going to do a live episode on Saturday, aren't we?
We are going to do a live Facebook episode on Saturday. Stay tuned on social media for the timing of that. And it's going to be very interesting, I assure you.
You're probably not doing anything better.
I assure you, you're not. Or you're doing something better, but you'd rather be looking in your phone and you can
watch. Or you could be on your way to do something better and you could just watch it anyway.
Right, you just be in the car driving, watching us on.
You already look at your phone when you're driving. I know you do.
Yep.
Put your fucking blinker on before you hit your brakes.
That's good advice. All right, thank you everybody for listening to the Sports with Capital F podcast. Lots of good stuff coming. I don't know. Be cool.
This is Sports with a capital F.
This is Sports.
Bis in Kapital.